You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We know who runs the route, but now it's time.
But now it's time to dive into the guys throwing the ball.
Welcome to QB Class.
Presented by Reception Perception. Here's your host,
Zach Miller and Derek Clapper.
What's up, everybody? We're back at the QB show here, and not only is it Derek and I today, but we've got a special episode. We are joined by D-Bro and Thor from over at Fantasy Pros. They are kind enough to share us some time for this one-stop shop quarterback episode. We're going through all four of the top four quarterbacks of the draft. There's a pretty clear-cut layer, I'd say, after that, which means this should be the only show you have to listen to for your draft prep. And we've got some good experts here. We got Derek Klassen, we got Derek Brown, aka D-Bro, and Thor Nystrom. It's the best of the best. Thank you guys both for joining us. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm doing good, man. I'm ready to just talk to these quarterbacks, and the closer we get to NFL draft, baby, I feel that fire just slowly starting to heat up even more.
It should be super exciting. We talked a little pre-show, but like that top 10 could get crazy real quick. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it. Well, we're going to jump right in here. The way we're going to do this episode is going to be a little different. The way it ended up is we each uniquely kind of have a quarterback that we are a little bit more in love with than the others of this draft. So we're going to take that quarterback. We're going to give you a full in-depth look at them. We're going to be a little biased, but we're going to try our best not to be. And we got some of the best draft analysis to do it. We're going to give these guys a score because people love numbers. We know how much you guys love these numbers. So we're going to kind of give them a 1 through 10 on a couple different categories. But more importantly, we're just going to talk to you about what makes these guys unique and what makes us love them pre-draft here. So let's get this show on the road. I am lucky enough to be starting out here, so I'm looking forward to that. And I got the quarterback that I wanted in the first place. I was going to be nice and hand it off and let you guys take each who you wanted on here. And it worked out to where I got the guy I love, which is the consensus number one overall quarterback, Caleb Williams. Very much looking forward to talk about him. So I'm going to try and keep it short here. Caleb Williams, I don't think, is a perfect prospect. I've talked with Derek a little bit about this on the show. I don't think there's anything like a perfect prospect. I think that's a fake term. I don't think there ever is a perfect prospect. That's not what makes Caleb Williams the number one overall pick, in my opinion. What makes him the number one overall pick, in my opinion, is his trump card. I think a modern day NFL, what you're looking for is you're looking for a guy that compete with the big franchise guys. You're looking for someone that can compete with Mahomes, someone that can compete with Josh Allen, in division even, where he's most likely to go, the Bears. I think that's pretty set in stone at this point. But you need to be able to compete with the young guys in there. You've got Jared Goff. You've got Jordan Love. You've got whoever the Vikings want to take this year. We'll see how that pans out. But you're looking for someone to compete with those guys. And I think that's a little different from what you've seen of years past, where they've kind of seen a switch of modern quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, to me, is the modern quarterback. Is he the most accurate passer in this draft? No, not in my opinion. Is he the most athletic quarterback in this draft? Also, no. But does he have a little bit of every trait? I think yes. His trump card is his pocket awareness. Well, pocket awareness with escapability. His ability to extend these plays has gotten compared to Aaron Rodgers, which I think is a decent comparison. And obviously he gets some Mahomesian comparisons, which I think is irresponsible. But you see a little bit of flashes in that. His adjusted accuracy in R charting was just about at that like good, not great percent, but it came overall at about 70% there, which is a really good score when you're looking at Derek's charting. Not the elite of what we saw from Stroud in the 74 to 75, but plenty accurate enough to get things done. He's really good in the short area of the field, good in the middle area of the field. You start to see his accuracy waver a little bit when it comes to those touch passes to the corners, his deep ball. I think he can shore that up a little bit as well. But overall, he's a very accurate passer. Pocket management. I love his pocket management. I know he gets some knocks on it for kind of playing a little bit of hero ball sometimes, and that definitely comes across on his film where you see him try and bring the team on his back, which he had to do a lot at USC. Their defense was, to put it lightly, not great. So he tended to have to get himself back into these games throughout the game. And then secondly, his wide receivers on USC, not my favorite either. So he didn't get a lot of separation from them. So he really did kind of have to play hero ball a lot. I'm hoping to see that that doesn't necessarily translate to the NFL for him being hero ball every play. Love to see him shore that up. But to a T, my favorite trait about Caleb Williams is his escapability and his red zone management. Escapability, there is no one in this class that it can extend a play like Caleb Williams. Getting out of the pocket is his absolute specialty. He's a very good athlete. He's not the fastest quarterback by any means, but he is easily fast enough to be getting out of these pockets and making throws on the run, and you see him do it all across his tape. If you were just highlight watching, you're seeing that all the time with Caleb Williams. Getting out of the pocket, being that type of athlete, and especially in the red zone, you see it shine for sure. In our charting, he was over a 72% success rate in the red zone, which means all of his passes were super accurate. Per Pro Football Focus, he's a 46-1 red zone touchdown to interception ratio since 2022. That's absolutely insane. And to me, that's one of the biggest indicators of what I think he can be at the pro level. You see his hero ball kind of fade away in the red zone. He's making really good decisions, getting out of the pocket, making good reads. He shores up every bit of his pro game in the red zone. A lot of what USC did in their offense was kind of dink and dunk passes. You see a lot of RPO on his charting. Not a lot of that's going to translate to the NFL, so you have to look at the other stuff that he's doing in his game, seeing those kind of pro-level throws and extrapolating that data to say, hey, this is what he could look like in the NFL. When I think you look at that data, that's when you see a number one overall pick, because you're saying, these are what the throws are going to translate like. A lot of that, I think, comes across in the red zone for USC, to where you see he's a lot more polished and a lot more grown from what his 2022 season was, and even his 2021. And then part of it is a kind of aside from his talent. He didn't have a huge supporting cast at USC, but he's in a really unique situation here with the Bears, which I'm just going to go out on a limb and say he's going to the Bears here. I'm not going to fluff around it. There's not been a lot of number one overall quarterbacks that have a supporting cast that the Bears are going to have. Very, very few times do you get to see a guy like this go to a team that's going to be able to support development early. And that's one of the things I think Caleb Williams needs. If he's thrown into the fire and has to play this hero ball in the NFL, that would be, to me, what would hinder his development the most. If there was an option for him not to pan out, to kind of be a draft day bust, that would be the avenue I see, to where he keeps playing this hero ball, makes the bad decisions that you see him make near the end of games, where he's kind of throwing the ball up third, fourth down into double coverage. I don't think he's going to have to do that with the Bears. You have a supporting cast of Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and DeAndre Swift, who I think comps slightly well to Marshawn Lloyd, who is at USC, kind of like a little bit more juiced up version of that. They have an okay offensive line, and they have the 9th overall pick. So there's a lot of things they can do for that. But just base supporting cast before then of Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Cole Kmet, I think will be super great for his development. And we'll get to see him kind of translate to the NFL, which is where you get a little bit of projection. You didn't get to see a ton of NFL offense from what he did at USC. So you are having to guess, kind of extrapolate some of that data to see, hey, where are these throws going to translate across the field? he's going to be able to get that development in the Bears, which makes me really bullish on him. I don't think he's a perfect prospect by any means, but I think he's a super unique prospect for this draft. And I think that kind of fits the modern day NFL. All these top guys you see have their kind of trump card trait where it's like, hey, you've got your legs to run, your Lamar Jacksons, your Jalen Hurts, you've got your Patrick Mahomes, who's just a freak all across the pages. But Josh Allen too, they all have their kind of trump card traits. And I think he is one of, if not the only quarterback in this class that possesses a truly unique trump card trait of his pocket escapability mixed with his athleticism. Real quick, before I hand it off to these guys to get their feedback off my rant here, I'm going to go ahead and break down his stats 1 through 10 here for my rankings on him. Accuracy, I'm going to give him a 7.5. Not the best mark you can give somebody for sure. I think he's a very accurate quarterback, but I don't think that's his best quality. He could really shore up those touch passes down the field. You see him overthrow receivers to the sidelines, to the boundaries. He missed some open throws throughout his career as well down the field. I think he could really shore that up. Arm talent, for me, he's getting a 10. I think he can make every throw on the field when you can do that on every level. He's got the arm strength to make those deep balls. He just needs to be a little bit more accurate on them. So he gets a 10 for that for me. Pocket management. This one might be a little bit of out there, but he's going to get an 8 from me. I know there's questions of him hanging onto the ball for a little too long, but I think with his escapability and how quick he makes his reads in some of that short game work, he's going to get an 8 from me. You see him reset the pocket a lot in his work, change the arm angle of his throws. I think 8 might even be a little low from what I feel, but I know he can be back there for a little too long. Decision making, I'm going to rock a 7 with there. He does kind of have that hero ball mentality. That is going to bring his decision-making down a little bit for me to where I would like to see him shore that up, not get so bored with the just down-to-down, give what they take what they give type throws and just getting it down the field. And then size athleticism, I struggled with this one a little bit because he is 6'1". Derek, he's 6'1". That's what they chalked him in at. Not 6 foot. I'm calling 6'1", at 214 pounds. That's plenty in my opinion. I'm cool with a quarterback like that. That's kind of like right in the range of there. He's not the fastest, most athletic quarterback, but he's very quick, quick twitch. He can juke defenders out. You see him pull out spin moves constantly, even if they are slow spin moves. So I'm going to give him a 7 out of 10 on that one as well. And that'll show up my Caleb Williams conversation. But I'm thrilled to hear what you guys have to say about my whole argument. So break it down for me, guys.
Oh man, you want me to lead this off, boys? At least the worries that I have about Caleb Williams, and I love how you phrase that, Zach, about like the hero ball mentality. I'm like, more than just a little bit in 2023. Like, if you could take Caleb Williams and look at him just in the microcosm of 2022, I'd love him. He'd be my QB1 of this class. But we have to factor in 2023, and was USC's supporting cast not great? Sure, we could all talk about that. But what I worry about with Caleb Williams is any of these bad habits and tendencies that have entered into his play style even more from 2022 to 2023 and playing all the Superman stuff. And what scares me about that is if that is more ingrained and is harder to pull out of him and get him back to being more balanced like he was in 2022 and taking more measured aggression, those things, like if that's more ingrained in him than people are talking about, or if that's like a new tendency that sticks in the NFL, because guess what? This is not going to shatter anybody's expectations, but in the NFL, it's going to be faster. You're going to have more exotic looks. Things are going to get harder, not easier. So do those tendencies get magnified even more when the game speeds up and goes from 0 to 60? That's my worry about Caleb Williams. So it's the hero ball stuff and everything with that. It's him trying to do too much on a down-to-down basis, bailing clean pockets in the process of that, skirting through his progressions and saying, I don't care about the underneath stuff. He's got guys on his film in 2023 that are running wide open, whether it's a check down or a crossing route underneath. And you're just like, throw the freaking slant. What are you doing? And he goes into the high wire circus act and he's like, nope, that guy down there 30 yards, it's double covered. Whee, let's go. And you're like, come on, dude. Like, you can't do that crap in the NFL. You're going to get either annihilated or you're going to throw a bad pick And people are going to be like, come on, you're going to get an earful from the OC or the quarterback coach when you come off the field. So those are my worries. Does Caleb Williams have the talent? Yes. But he needs to understand not everything needs to be a highlight reel play every single down. And the down-to-down consistency, where I think that some of that can get reined in, the Bears had a master stroke by adding Keenan Allen, who is a player that is going to work over the middle of the field. You're going to have to be on time with the play, and you're going to have to stay on schedule. If you get behind, you're not going to hit him on the timing route across the field. That's not going to happen. So adding a player like Keenan Allen is not only a help to Caleb Williams by, yes, let's surround him by more skilled players. Okay, done. Check. Okay, that's an easy box. The second layer of that is he's going to force Caleb Williams to be on time and how he's going to have to move through progressions and the plays in general.
For me, it's pretty simple with Caleb. I don't get into the personality with you know, you hear some of that. I don't care about that kind of stuff. For me, the on-field thing, the rubber meets the road with one specific thing. You didn't see him in college whatsoever do the timing routes or the anticipatory throws. It just wasn't an aspect of the offense that Lincoln ran there with him. It was either the quick screen pass or it was that playground high wire stuff that D-Bro was talking about, and you were talking about, Zach, one or the other. In the NFL, you can't go that far out to one side of the polarity. There has to be some element of the timing routes and the anticipatory throws to be defenses. So you can do some of the playground stuff, but it has to be situation specific. Was the reason they weren't doing it in college because he can't, or was it just because he has the trump cards of the arm and the athleticism? I guess we're going to find out. If it's the former, that's where he plays way down the NFL. And Chicago is disappointed by their selection of him because he'll be way easier to defend if he's just running out on the perimeter every single time. But if he can be taught that stuff easy enough, then it will play up the rest of his game. And that's where you're going to get the stud.
Yeah, I think if he fails, it will be because he can't get the playground stuff out of his game. I think almost anybody, even his biggest fans, would probably agree that that would be what's going to get him. I'm not all that worried about it, though, for a few reasons. One, you guys are right. They didn't do a lot of like actual drop back, like have to anticipate, play with good timing, all that stuff. I thought when they did, though, he actually acquitted himself quite well for the most part, especially back in 2022 when the offense was a little bit more put together. This year, I think Caleb definitely probably leaned into the playground stuff a little bit too much, but I'm kind of empathetic to uber talented quarterback on a bad team trying to go out and win the game. Like that's what it's going to have to be in the NFL, especially early on for a lot of these guys. So to me, that's, I would much rather have a guy who tries to play that way and then you have to tone him down a little bit than have a Mac Jones who you're just never going to get up to that level. Obviously, Mac was never close to as good as Caleb, but just in terms of like the play style and stuff. And then the other thing that actually gives me a lot of hope with Caleb is kind of to Zach's point, I think his pocket management is phenomenal. Obviously, like we all gravitate to the plays where he does leave the pocket. And, you know, there's one or two times a game where he does leave the pocket when he probably shouldn't. But I think there are five or six other times in the game where he hangs in the pocket, really clean base, efficient movement, eyes down the field. And it's like, okay, when we get him into a real offense where players are actually on the right landmarks and stuff, this might look pretty good. And to that point about like, you know, landmarks and then just how bad the offensive line was and stuff, I think this was pretty handily the worst year for Lincoln Riley in his entire career. Like, I think he did not have the offensive line that he had at Oklahoma. And I think it completely like rattled his understanding of how his own offense is supposed to run and be called. It's why they ran that BS like slide RPO 30 times a game, is because he just didn't have another answer to fall back on. And I think he didn't piece together the offense as well as he's used to. So, and the other thing, that the last point I want to make about Caleb too, is when I watched Caleb, there are obviously some concerns with some of the, you know, playground, he does whatever he wants type stuff, but I didn't come away thinking, oh, he's not going to be able to figure it out. I came away thinking, oh, when he actually gets NFL structure, he's going to take to this really well, and it's going to be a huge benefit to him, because I just think he's way too talented, way too sure of himself in the pocket and the way he handles that sort of stuff. So there's definitely stuff he's going to have to iron out, but I have a lot of faith that he's going to get there. He's just way too talented.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I don't think any of us were sold on the he's a super polished prospect, which is nice, because I don't think that's true with him. So he does have things to clean up, and I think the traits are there for it, but no part of me is like he is the perfect quarterback prospect throughout this. But we're going to sign off on Caleb there and move on to the next one. Derek, it's too many Derek's now. I don't yeah, I love you guys both, but I need less Derek's in my life at this point. Debro, I'm gonna let you take the floor here. I'm really excited for this one because admittedly we didn't have a great evaluation on this guy, so I'm super excited to hear your argument on Jaden Daniels. So please take the floor.
This man said he needs less Derek's in his life, then he hops in my DMs about doing this show. It's a very interesting, very, very interesting point there, Zach. But dude, I got to talk about Jaden Daniels, man. He's my QB1 of this class, and I'm going to cape up for him. Just rolling this down the ticker tape here. But the accuracy, I'm going to start this off. It's 9 out of 10 for me. I think you look at his accuracy to all levels of the field, and regardless of whatever metric you want to pull up, 6th in adjusted completion rate. He was 3rd in big-time throw rate. I will say one of the best things about his accuracy that I love for Jaden Daniels is his anticipatory throwing and how he does not limit, because there are quarterbacks in this class that limit the yak opportunities for their wide receivers, and you don't see that on Jaden Daniels. He is an anticipatory thrower. He is not a see-it-throw-it guy. You can lump that into decision-making and pocket management as well, but I think it also talks about his accuracy. Him being on time and throwing guys in stride and allowing yak opportunities is huge. Especially, it's going to be huge in the NFL with all these too high safety looks. You're going to have to eat teams up over underneath and allow your receivers to chew up yards and break tackles. You can't do that if a guy's holding the ball and saying, I need three steps in your route to see that you're open before I deliver the freaking ball. So his accuracy is fantastic. The caveat that I'll give him, and the reason I didn't give him a 10 out of 10 here, is because his base can kind of get wonky, and you do see him sail some easy passes on short throws every now and then, where you're just like, it's almost like the wires get crossed for a second, and you're like, oh, here's an easy pass, and Jaden goes, meow! Like, he gets shocked all of a sudden, like somebody hit him with the taser, and he's like, and he throws it out of bounds. And you're like, what the heck was that, man? That was like a 7-yard out. Like, that should be easy. But you don't see it consistent enough to where I think it's a problem. And again, we're talking about a player that made a huge jump in this last season. I don't think that the continuation or the growth of his game stops right now. I think we're seeing the beginning of that growth curve for Jaden Daniels. But moving over to arm talent, I'm going to give him an 8 here. I think he has a very good arm, but I don't think that it's special in the sense, like, he has good velocity. He can make every single throw that you want. He's one of the best, if not the best, deep ball thrower of this entire class, like, regardless of whatever metric you want to pull up. He basically led the class in everything deep passing wise. A lot of that was LSU system and how they set things up. But again, you got to have some freaking arm talent. If a team is saying, hey, we're going to run a lot of deep routes, we're going to run a lot of go balls, a lot of boundary shots and stuff like that, you can't make those bucket throws. Jaden Daniels would have sucked last year if he was bad at that. So again, we have to talk about arm talent with that. Throwing on the move, I'm going to give him a 7. I think there's parts where you could pick apart his game with this aspect of it, where he was 86th in adjusted completion rate on the move out of all FBS quarterbacks, at least 100 or 50 dropbacks on the move. But you do see, and maybe this is a better point to his pocket management, his decision-making in that phylum, or at least in that category, excuse me, second in passer rating on throws on the move, 9th in big time throw rate. So the ability is there, but again, we're talking about when the mechanics get off, when he's asked to move off of his spot. I think that there is improvement that he does need there. And a lot of that does come to footwork, aligning your body, keeping everything and your upper half and lower half married together, so that he does need to continue to improve that. Pocket management, I'm going to give him an 8. I know everybody loves, and the first thing that they talk about Jaden Daniels with is his pressure to sack rate, blah, blah, blah. And they want to shade this as a way to bump him down because they talk about the career numbers. And it's like, you're going to talk about the career numbers of a guy. Yes, we know he wasn't great at Arizona State. He made a massive leap in his final year at LSU. Then why don't we talk about what he did in his final year at LSU? Everybody talks about the career pressure to sack numbers, but you don't hear people also break it down and say, well, guess what? He was 20.2% pressure to sack rate. Is that great? No. Does that put him as an outlier and we're so concerned about this? No. But that doesn't fit the narrative that people want to hear and talk about and lump him in the same thing as Justin Fields. If Justin Fields becomes Jaden Daniels, the NFL should be happy and cutting backflips, I'll say that, from his ability from the pocket. So they are not in the same conversation. I am going to debunk that right now. And people, if you're using the wide brushstroke to talk about that in terms of career, please give some context and talk about his final season at LSU and the growth that the man made in that aspect. Because you can also talk about, he was 39th in pressure adjusted completion rate. Again, he needs to improve on some of these things when he's pressured in the pocket management. Am I worried about it? No. Is there growth that he can actualize there? Yes. But his decision-making, I'm going to give the guy a 9.5. I almost went to 10 here. We're talking about a player that knows how to take care of the ball as well as move through progressions. And people want to talk about, okay, well, he didn't also access the middle of the field. If you look at his film, the more he went through last season, you see throws over the middle of the field towards the end of the season where that wasn't really in there at the beginning of the season. So again, a player that I do not think that we are done seeing the growth curve for Jaden Daniels. But in terms of his decision-making, 4th lowest turnover-worthy play rate, 81st percentile at avoiding negative plays. And if we want to talk about and put numbers to this about a guy going through progressions, he led all quarterbacks, talking about these top 4 guys, in the ability to the percentage of his throws that where he got to his next read, he led all 4 quarterbacks at 12.1%. Caleb was at 11, Drake May 10.5, JJ at 9. So I have no worries about his decision making and the ability to grasp an NFL offense and move through progressions and get to his second and third reads. Finally, size and athleticism. I will say this, is the size a concern? Sure, we can all talk about that. Is it a concern if we talk about, because everybody loves to throw out all the highlights about him getting smashed and just crushed in the middle of the field. If you don't think that that's not a thing that coaching can change or decision-making can change and saying, hey, slide or run out of bounds, then what are we doing here? Like, a guy can learn how to slide. He could run out of bounds. You could tell him, don't take the ball up the freaking middle. If you're going to scramble, be smart about it. Don't get annihilated by a 265-pound linebacker that runs a freaking 4-3 crushing you in the open field, which I think he can adamantly do, man. To me, what that goes back to is his ability and want to make a play. So a lot of those are broken plays where he's trying to make something out of nothing and he's taken off with the ball and maybe not making the smartest choice for him on that decision. But is he trying to make a play for his team? Absolutely. He can do that better, though.
I can start off here because I think I might be the meanest.
I'm ready. I read your write-up before this class. Yeah. I'm ready for the bullets, dude.
It's funny. People say that Jaden Daniels is like a very high ceiling prospect. I actually think he's a very high floor prospect. Like, I think he does a lot of stuff that makes me believe it would be pretty hard for him to just like fail out. Like, obviously he has the athleticism. He's going to be able to lean back on his rushing ability. I think when he's playing like just 1-2-3 balls out within the rhythm of the offense, he probably is the cleanest passer in this class. It helps that he's been able to play for 5 seasons. You know, when you just get a bunch of reps, it's going to be a little easier, a little bit cleaner. But within the rhythm of the offense, he generally does play pretty well, especially I think I have more questions about his ability to anticipate later in the down and get to the backside and throw those type of routes, especially over the middle of the field. But I think when he's operating quick game, he's almost like flawless in terms of that. And then to your point, the accuracy, I think really to every level, like I have questions about how willing and capable he is as a decision maker to throw the middle of the field, but he throws those routes really well when he does trigger on them. And then down the field, the touch is fantastic. I think underneath he's very good. Like you said, he's got like one miss a game where it's like, oh my God, how did you do that? But so does like Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott is a very good quarterback. So who cares? That's not really that big of a consideration for me. So I think just purely between like his accuracy, his general decision-making within the rhythm of the offense, and like he's not a player who puts the ball in danger. And then you add that on top of his athleticism. To me, it's very easy to see how this is not a quarterback who will fail outright. I just don't see a lot of the like top 6 NFL quarterback, like truly game changing traits. I think his arm is closer to like fine than good or great. Like, I think he has like Tyrod Taylor's arm, who Tyrod Taylor is very clearly above the baseline, but I don't think he's that scary in terms of what he's able to do in terms of like velocity, especially throwing the middle of the field. Where I also have concerns with Jaden is he kind of just checks a lot of boxes, or he doesn't check a lot of the boxes that I love for quarterbacks. I have a lot more questions about his pocket management. I think there are times where you see he's very tough and willing to take a hit, but it'll be in moments where he doesn't have to move, like where he's already kind of determined where the throw is going to be. This is kind of how Kirk Cousins operates. Kirk Cousins will make a throw if he's just like already stationary, knows where the ball needs to be. When players like Kirk and even Jaden have to like move a little bit and slide around the pocket, keep their eyes up, I just don't see a whole lot of that from Jaden. I think he's very much a quarterback who's quick to bail. And when he's quick to bail, he isn't a quarterback who outside the pocket looks to throw. He's a quarterback who looks to run. And this is why
can I counterpoint that for a second? Because I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Do you think, just adding the context with that, because I've heard that, but getting to the second level nuance of a player, do you think some of that is because he knows that if he takes off with his legs, he can outrun a lot of different dudes and his playmaking ability with his legs? Like, I'm not saying you can make the case in this that maybe he leans on that too much, but do you think some of that goes back to the fact that he knows he can make plays with his legs?
Yes, but my counterpoint to the counterpoint is like the very, very best, the very, very best NFL quarterbacks still look to throw, even if they are guys who are very good at running. I mean, Josh Allen is like this. Even people think Lamar is this like get outside the pocket and run quarterback. Dude, I don't think any quarterback that's a scrambler guy keeps their eyes up the way Lamar does. Like, he is very much like, I'm ready to throw outside the pocket. It's just that when he does run, it's insane. And like, to your point, I do think he will, like, it is still an effective thing when he runs. It's just that it reminds me more of players like Jalen Hurts, who I'm not even as high on Jalen Hurts as an NFL quarterback as a lot of other people. So maybe that's why it's maybe like tinted how I view Jaden Daniels. But so those are kind of some of my concerns. I think, like I said, I think he's a high floor prospect. I would be shocked if he is just like god awful. I think he can be an effective player. I just, when I'm talking about drafting a quarterback in the top five, I need to see like top eight. This could maybe be an all pro. I really struggle to get there.
I don't have a lot to add on here. I think you guys have nailed the conversation. To me, he's always been like a little bit more athletic, like Teddy Bridgewater. And I love Teddy Bridgewater coming out. I think pre-injury stuff. In all of our Derek's charting, Jaden Daniels topped out as our most accurate passer. So there's just a lot to like from the conversation here between you two. So if you're good, Thor, I'd love to move the table to you, man.
Oh, I'm ready for this one.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about JJ McCarthy as if I haven't done it enough this spring already. So I'm going to go category by category and toss up my points as we go. So starting with accuracy, I gave him an 8 for accuracy, but I'm combining that with placement. I would actually put his, if it was just accuracy, I'd put that a little bit above, but I'm going to ding him for the placement a bit. And we're going to get into that in a second when we talk about the arm talent a little bit more. But just speaking to the accuracy, obviously the rote percentage was very high, 72% and change. The catchable throw rate last year was number 5 in the FBS. So that stuff was good. We'll talk about the placement. That's what could improve. Arm talent, I gave him 8.5. He's got a good arm, a very good arm. At the NFL Combine, we got some data on this. His max velocity throw was 1 mile per hour under the record, which Joe Milton tied. Josh Allen was one of the ones before at 62. JJ had 61. And you see the manifestation of this. Like, he gets dinged a little bit on the long ball being more flat as opposed to the rainbow. But again, we'll talk about the mechanics here in a second. But where you see the particularly the manifestation in a positive way of the arm talent is with the NFL concepts, particularly over the middle. He was number 1 among the top quarterbacks in this class in the completions in the intermediate range over the middle. He had an 85.6 adjusted completion percentage and 91.2 passing grade PFF. On 97 such attempts last season. That was number 17 in the FBS. And the throws that he was typically asked to make, a lot of them were into the tight windows or on timing concepts, the anticipatory stuff where he had to be on time with the ball on the hands, throwing at velocity. One of my favorite random stats from this class is McCarthy had less career screen passes than Bo Nix attempted in 4 of his 5 individual collegiate seasons. I gave him an 8.5 for the arm talent. But the thing that I wanted to mention there, as far as the mechanics and what he can improve, when we talk about the deep ball, and then to you, some people have heard this stuff about him throwing to the left. What you saw, this is particularly earlier in his career, especially, and then earlier on this season, going to the left, he keeps the mechanics very well, but when he throws to the left, he'll take this exaggerated lead step out to the left, and then he'll swing his body around, as opposed to just taking sort of like a fractional second to reset his entire body that way, was what I noticed. And that's how there could be a bit of errancy, just sort of keeping square, but then, oh, I'm going to go to the left. And then, you swing around as opposed to do that slight reset in that moment. And then the thing that gives them the heat ring velocity in the intermediate area, sort of the baseball pitcher thing where it's, you know, and this is one thing I love about him is he steps into every throw and he sort of barrels over the top with it and just fires it. But down the field, he was doing that as well. And you got less trajectory on that. I thought it was really interesting down the stretch last season when he really started to play up, you started to see a bit of improvement with that. And then at the combine and his pro day, I thought it was really interesting that you saw way more loft on those and he was still getting the distance. And it appeared that he had slightly tweaked or was tweaking his mechanics, where on those throws, it wasn't that complete, you know, step over and then the over the top and then barrel through it. You know, he was laboring to get more of that loft on, get more trajectory on it so he could drop it in the bucket. I think that will improve some of that stuff downfield, but it bears mentioning some mechanical tweaks are going to improve some of that stuff, particularly outside the hash to the left. So then it will also stand to improve the like just by definition, it's going to improve the touch on his throws, which is one thing, you know, one of the other nitpicks I would have had is the modulation of touch on some throws, right? Like, because some of them, the loft just wasn't there quite as much. Pocket management, I gave him a 9. And I could even argue for higher than that, but we'll go with 9. He was number 7 out of 165 qualifying FBS quarterbacks last year in PFF grade under pressure. He's fabulous under pressure. He does very well negating it prior to it getting there, in my opinion, in terms of working that pocket, keeping the space. But then he is like one of the special things about him in terms of the projection where it could be is the improvisation when he starts to move around, get outside of the pocket. He doesn't lose any accuracy on the move. He was 71% and change last year while scrambling accuracy, which was just one percentage point beneath his accuracy without, right? And then this, like, unlike most of the guys in this class, McCarthy played in a pro-style system, and he played against the best defenses in the highest leverage spots. And, you know, speaking to the pro-style thing first, he was the only top quarterback in this class who had nearly half of his non-screen total passing attempts come against top 25 competition. Some of the guys, it was like 15%. JJ was 49.7%. And then to the strength of schedule, Michigan played the number 38 average defense last year, which was by far and away the best defensive strength of any of these guys. So you were facing better pass rushes. And I realize that the pushback people would say is, oh, Michigan had a really good offensive line. They did. It was a way better run blocking offensive line, though. I think in the PFF grading for passing blocking, it was like around 20th. Not bad, but they were going up against these nasty defensive fronts, Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, Alabama, et cetera, et cetera. Decision-making, I gave JJ an 8. And you could even say 7.5. I took him up because it improved, and particularly down the stretch last year, which is when his game really started to take off. But earlier on, especially 2022, that would have been a bugaboo where you occasionally or more often saw a wonky decision staying on first read, different stuff like that. 2023, you saw less and less of that stuff, but it's still not complete. He still needs work on that. And keep in mind, this kid won the national championship as a 20-year-old true junior. He's early on the development curve, so obviously we're still working on this. But you will still see wonky decisions. The Alabama game, Michigan would not have won that game without J.J. McCarthy. He brought them back in the second half. However, his very first pass of that game, McCarthy got bailed out. It was the thing where it was a very simple concept going out to the right, and he had a wide-open guy. He held it, and then he for some reason, didn't throw to the wide-open guy on the sideline, then was going to I don't know if he's trying to throw it away or he's trying to go to the guy that was beyond him. Threw a bad pass, and it would have been intercepted, but the defender's foot was on the line. But after that, so it was like, what are you doing? And again, they get bailed out. They call that interception back. So Michigan gets to keep the ball. After that, J.J. McCarthy was tremendous in that game. It's a play like that that needs to be yanked out like a weed from his game. So the decision-making thing, like I said, still needs work. It is getting better. But I think one thing that speaks to this stuff, J.J. McCarthy was the only quarterback in this class who finished PFF 72nd percentile or higher in all seven of these categories last year. Standard dropback percentile, at or beyond the sticks percentile, avoids negative plays percentile, under pressure percentile, outside the pocket percentile, third and fourth down percentile, and positively graded throw percentile. No other quarterback was above the 54th percentile in all seven of those. The size and athleticism, I give him an 8. You could even argue you could go a little bit above that. I think 6'2 and a half, 219 pounds, and he ran the 6th fastest 3 cone at the NFL Combine at that size, which was 17 pounds heavier than his Michigan listing. The reports that we have about his speed, I think if he had run at the pro day, and I don't blame him for not, but I think we were either going to see high 4.4s or at worst in the low 4.5s. But you saw the athleticism with the 3 cone, and you see it on the field. And the important thing with McCarthy, again, is the arm strength and talent. It works in conjunction with the athleticism when he is, you know, when he's moving around. He keeps the mechanics with him on the move is the reason for this. He always keeps the upper body cocked to throw, keeps the eyes downfield, and he keeps a throwing platform under him. Like, you'll notice as he's maneuvering around, it's always sort of squaring the upper body and then the lower half beneath him, so that if he needed to throw at that time, he would be able to get it off super duper quick. And so those are things that I really like about him. I gave him an 8 on that. Still stuff to work on with McCarthy for sure, but I think that this guy is a big time talent. You saw him work the NFL concepts the past couple of years for Harbaugh. You have seen the continued improvement. I think he's got the arm strength, certainly has the athleticism. Tough kid, kid that doesn't shirk away from getting hit. He steps into every throw, and then he'll get smoked. Some of these, you know, in class, and you know this from your quarterback charting, watching every spring the cut-ups, a lot of these young quarterbacks, they will brace for the hit or they'll fade away. I love the guys that every single time step into it and then will fire it, because your accuracy plays out. You know, it's not playing hero ball. It's your accuracy will play up because your mechanics are always there. And it's the same thing with that under duress as it is with him on the move. And that's why you see the numbers with him under pressure and while scrambling.
Yeah, real quick on to get some more context about what you talked about, the Michigan O-line, Thor. Last year, their pass blocking grade was 50th. They were 10th. They were higher. Top 10. They were 10th.
Or even lower.
In run blocking grade. So I love that context, man. And the only point I want to make on JJ to pile on top here, his off-script ability is not talked about nearly as well as it should be. And everything, and for all the box score chasers out there, go watch Nebraska. Just go watch the 2023 game versus Nebraska. That's the one that I'm going to tell you to go watch. And that'll
and keep
tell you
in
everything.
Mind that game was in win too, D-Bro.
And he's lacing throws, yes. 15, 20 yards down the field, threading the needle. There's a fantastic, and I think Orlovsky threw this up, the clip of him hitting Roman Wilson in the back of the end zone.
Oh, stupid.
The thing that I want to highlight about that one is Roman Wilson's coming from the opposite side of the freaking end zone. Like
when he throws it against the grain on that.
And the thing I love about that is, and we haven't gotten to Drake May, is that the difference in some of these quarterbacks, I love J.J. McCarthy's off-script ability, because not only in addition to keeping his eyes up, he uses the entire freaking field when he's off-script. You'll see some guys where they get tunnel vision. They'll look at one guy, look at a certain read, and they lose the rest of the field. Like it just goes away for them. That doesn't happen with McCarthy. And to me, that also adds another level to your ability to make those special plays off script.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I'm about to hand this off to Derek for Drake May, but I think the only note Derek and I had that was different on JJ was, I think we both wanted him to have some time before he was a clear-cut starter in the NFL. Because it, like Thor said, he has some things he needs to work on to be like the top end that he can be, the bigger end quarterback. That was my main concern, is he might get thrown into fire a little early based off of how early he could go in this draft. And if teams are trading up, you know, like there are rumors at New England, there are obviously the Vikings are in conversation at 4. I would like to see him get 6 games of like practice in before he's thrown into the starting lineup. I think that would do worlds for his development to the NFL level. That's probably my only biggest concern with JJ, is like to get the best of his game to translate. I want to give him some time.
Sorry, like to that point, like early on at Michigan, his freshman year, true freshman year, this is when they had kicked out Joe Milton and then Cade McNamara had taken over. But as a true freshman, JJ, it's funny, you know, the athleticism thing, and I was surprised coming in that this wasn't just like a, like that some, anyone would question it. Early on at Michigan, that freshman year, he was the change of pace, like runaround dude, right? Like, and so you could do, you know, especially if it was, let's say the Vikings, the perfect situation, any of these quarterbacks should be praying that the Vikings take him to go into that offense. But like, if you were in that, let's say you wanted to start Darnold for the first month or month and a half, whatever, to your point, you could have McCarthy doing something similar, evoke back to his true freshman year at Michigan, use him situationally and in packages where you're really leveraging that mobility, and then you're sort of spoon feeding him and then starting his development out that way, as opposed to your guys's point, not just tossing him out to the wolves immediately, you know, while we're still working on the decision-making thing, play in and play out.
But Thor, I've heard he's not athletic. I've heard he's more like Kirk Cousins. He's not athletic at all. He can't do any of that stuff. There's
dual
no way.
Sport star,
he's
a hockey star too.
He's a pocket passer. He can't even run. I don't even know if we've ever seen him run.
I literally think people just see the play action throws over the middle and some of the boots, and they're like, "Oh, it looks like Kirk." And
it's exactly.
I mean, kind of, but
it's
like
it's Michigan. Really. It's Michigan school.
you're like, exactly. Except if you think it's Kirk, you probably need glasses. Right. I digress.
All right, Derek, well, you're going to close off the show here, and I know it's a guy you love. So please take the floor. I know you're not going to have any issues talking about this one.
Yeah, I could go on Drake May for about an hour. Drake May, to me, like even before I get to, you know, some of the categories we have here and stuff, Drake May, to me, on a very, very basic level, looks and moves and throws much more like the top elite NFL quarterbacks than anybody else in this class. Like you look at guys like obviously Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. You can even throw in like Dak Prescott. These are all guys who are like 6'2 plus, 225 plus. They move really, really well. Maybe Dak less so at this point because some of the injuries, but especially early on in his career, he definitely had that. And then they throw the hell out of the football. Like all of these guys can throw 60 yards with ease. They can throw it through a train if they need to. Like they are just really, really talented in terms of their arm. So Drake May, on a very basic, like just super simple level, checks that box in terms of looking like what the top 5 or so NFL quarterbacks look like. And I think that's really important when you're trying to go fire for fire, punch for punch with some of those guys at the end of the road. I think beyond that, Drake May just checks a lot of other boxes for what I really appreciate about quarterback play. Drake May, to me, has some of the best pocket management, I think, in this class. And I think his pocket management is like deeply misunderstood. People see like, oh, he's drifting here and there. He's drifting here and there. They're like, let's say 10 times a game he does this, where he drifts around the pocket or whatever. There will be one time in a game where he's wrong and just walks himself directly into pressure. And it looks terrible. And it looks like he just has no idea what's going on. Terrible spatial awareness. I think more often than not, he is perfectly sliding away from where he understands pressure, where pressure is going to be. Anytime he understands where, like, okay, he sees a twist, okay, he knows where he needs to drift to keep himself clean. Sometimes you'll see him drift if he knows for a fact he is throwing to one side of the field, just based on some of the pre-snap indicators. He'll drift a little bit there to make the throw a little bit easier on him. Like, I think more often than not, when and why he is moving is very, very good, and frees him up to do to make easier throws. Like, he'll even get himself better angles on throws. Like, I remember there's one against Notre Dame in 2022 where he's just like, the way that he slides and drifts to set himself up for an easier angle to throw a shallow crosser. I mean, that's stuff you see from the best NFL quarterbacks. Like, Philip Rivers was doing, I remember, like, specifically Philip Rivers and Andrew Luck would do this type of thing all the time. And so for Drake to kind of have that just little thing in his bag, I think is super important. Even more to the pocket presence, this dude is extremely willing, you know, kind of Thor, to your point about JJ McCarthy, which I do love this about JJ, extremely willing to take a hit and step up into it and make the throw, do whatever he needs to do. And I think when you get into the NFL, that's just like the reality of it. Like, the guys who, again, Thor, to your point, these guys who like fade away a little bit, or they just get uncomfortable and they kind of, they lose themselves when they get pressured a little bit, I think you're going to have issues. Drake May, to me, I that's not a concern at all. I think he's very willing to, I mean, he'll even jump up there and do a jump pass if that's what he thinks that he needs to buy himself time and a little bit of creation. And I think that ability to have that like creativity within the pocket, that sort of toughness, it's what I think makes most of the best quarterbacks in the league. And so that's a really important trait to me. The other thing is, I think pre-snap, he does a phenomenal job. I think post-snap, he can get into a little bit of like blindness at times. I also think that offense was completely BS and not at all like an NFL offense, so I don't really care all that much. But pre-snap, I think anytime they like would send like blitzes at him, I mean, this kind of goes back to the pocket drifting, but like, he was very, very good at understanding when he was hot, where he's hot from, what are my answers, how do I make this play not terrible. And I think he was really, really good at that. I think especially actually in 2023, like, I think in 2022 he had a little bit more like willy-nilly, just kind of guessing a little bit. But I think in 2023, he actually cleaned that up a lot, even if the general function of the offense was not that much better. The other point I want to make about Drake May is that I think people think he's a significantly worse decision maker than he is, because you see, there's like one time a game where he does the Josh Allen golden retriever brain, where he just makes the weirdest play that you've ever seen. But I forget the number, but his turnover worthy play rate is actually like one of the lowest in the class. Like, he doesn't really put the ball in harm's way. He does a really good job when he's running around. He doesn't really make like aggressively bad throws into tight coverage. He doesn't really misread and like misunderstand where a zone defender was and throw right at them. He doesn't do that very often. It's just that the instances where he does are very, very easy to remember, and they're painfully bad. And I think that's like warping people's perception of what he actually is in that sense. I mean, like, Josh Allen now is the same way. Josh Allen doesn't make that many bad decisions. It's just that when he does, they're like catastrophically stupid. And I think May kind of has some of that to him. So, I mean, that's mostly my, oh, and then the other thing, I mean, just athletically, I think he's one of the best in the class, because, you know, Jaden is obviously faster. He's probably a little bit quicker. I think in and around the pocket, Caleb is probably a little bit more slippery, but at Drake's size, where he's 6'4", 226, he just strides so crazy for that size. Like, it is phenomenal. I think he's like pretty close to Justin Herbert athletically. And again, Justin Herbert doesn't like actually use his athleticism that much, but when he does, it's phenomenal. And I think Drake May is very, very similar to that. So that's pretty much my elevator pitch for Drake May. I think he just checks just about every box. And then just for my personal, like, what do I love in a quarterback? I love a dude with S tier arm talent, a guy who's aggressive, a guy who's willing to stand in the pocket and take hits. He checks all those boxes. So I'm just big fan of Drake May.
I love the point that you made about his pocket management class. And I don't think maybe that gets talked about enough. You know, he has like he'll do like the back pedal, like a bicycle when he gets the ball, which sometimes you don't see. You know, the guys will be square, but then in that spread offense, he could see everyone. And then I like in the beats after that, it's, you guys know that meme where it's like the little cartoon guy is walking around and it's a bunch of people. And then wherever he goes, they move away from him.
Yeah.
You know, that's sort of what he's like managing the pocket, where it's like his movements are to always keep that halo around him, so he will have that runway to step up into, to throw. So I like how he manipulates that as he's going. He does move around a bit, but it's sort of in deference to that. The question I had for you, Klaus, and it's my sort of one concern about him, all that stuff up to that point, I really like. But what I noticed with him is when he starts to denote the enemy is at the gate, and I'm not even talking about the wonky decisions. It's like when the pressure thing, when he starts to denote the enemy is at the gate, what I notice is that sometimes he would hit fast forward on the mechanics and the decision making when maybe he had extra beats to whether it was reset, step into the throw. Sometimes I would just see a hurriedness with that to get the ball out. And sometimes I'd see some errancy with that. Sometimes you'd see the wonky decisions with that as well. Was that something that you saw? And is that a concern of yours at all?
I think it's definitely there a little bit. I think it's like specifically when he has a pressure, like directly in front of wherever it is that he wants to throw, he can get a little bit like, he tenses up and things happen really, really fast. I'm still not all that worried about that, though, because I think a big portion of that is like he's just consistently playing behind an offensive line that was disgustingly terrible. And at a certain point, once you've played behind an offensive line like that, you kind of almost ingrain it in yourself that like, I'm going to get hit. I need to play faster. It's like the complete opposite of when you watch guys like Michael Penix or Jaden Daniels or I mean, I guess it's mostly those two in this class. I mean, Bo Nix actually to the same degree, like because they're not constantly taking bullets in the same way. I think you don't find that they have as many plays where they just like completely lose their mind. But I think when you watch some of the guys like Drake, I mean, Caleb even has some of this to him where he'll just like kind of lose his mind sometimes when he gets pressured because you just know it's happening so often and you're like, I don't want to get hit again. Spencer Rattler has this to him where it's like Rattler will make awesome plays from the pocket. But he will also have two plays a game where he just like freaks the hell out and like things just happen too fast and he just like loses it. But again, I think it's a lot of that, like when you're just constantly under bullet hell for like, you know, 30 plays a game, I think at some point you kind of just lose that. I think you especially kind of saw that late in some games. Like early on, I don't think it was that big of an issue. But sometimes late in some of these games, especially when they were like mega outgunned, he would have some of those moments where it's like, all right. You had a little bit more time here. You should probably use it, but I don't know. I think if you get into a more functional NFL spot, I really don't think it's going to be that big of an issue.
I love that you brought up the golden retriever moments and stuff, and we are evoking Spencer Rattler's name in this. And we're not talking about him on this show, but that's exactly the first person I thought about whenever it was like those moments where you're like, "What yeah. are you doing?" That no, just. Don't that's the first quarterback that I thought of.
You're not going to get a lot of complaints on the Drake May stuff for me. I think the only other thing that I would note that you didn't mention that I would nitpick on him is sometimes on the throws across the field, especially RPOs, if he's a little on the move with his throwing motion, sometimes he'll put it a little too close to the ground. You see a lot of times where he's not necessarily putting it like on the chest or in front of a receiver as much as they have to kind of either dip or stop in their route. We talked about that when we did the Drake May show, I believe, too. And that comes down to like a little bit of being better at setting his feet when he reworks the pocket, as well as just kind of making sure that his arm motion stays consistent and doesn't like have a hitch in it, which I think we both agreed was something that you can develop a little better. It was not like a fundamental problem to his game. So,
yeah. And I'll even say really quickly, I do think if there is anything that limits his ceiling, it's like, I don't think he's nearly as inaccurate as people say that he is. I think people like lose their minds about that, but he does have like two or three throws a game where it's like, Jesus Christ, like there's no way that somebody this talented should be missing. I still think his best throws are as good as anybody. But there are definitely a couple instances a game where they're throws that he should be able to make. And it's like you said, Zach, if he just had a little bit of a firmer base, cause I will say he plays kind of with a tight base, but again, like that offense was so BS and like literally not real footwork that I'm like, okay, if he gets to an NFL offense, I think they'll be able to figure this out. But he does need to clean that up a little bit. I think if there's anything that, you know, in my eyes holds him from being like the difference from quarterback 14 or quarterback 6 in the NFL, it'll be just cause the inconsistent accuracy is just like, can't get it all the way there.
Damn, that's going to close us out today, man. That was great, guys. Thanks for joining us, Derek, Thor. You guys are awesome. If you're listening to this and you're not following these two and checking out their work, you're making a mistake. They cover every bit of the draft. Their draft work this season has been absolutely insane. Their show is great. They're both hilarious, fun to listen to. Please go check them out. If you're on this show and you're not listening to them, you're truly making a mistake. So thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us, boys.